Hello and welcome to the Taskmaster podcast. It's Ed Gamble here, your loyal host and host forevermore. I'm not relinquishing this podcast to anyone. More discussion about that later. We're starting with series 11, new episodes of Taskmaster. As you know, if you've been listening to the podcast in the past, we have been trawling the back catalogue of Taskmaster. We've done series 1 and 2, but we are putting a pause on those old episodes now to tackle series 11 week by week, because it started, if you're listening to this straight after the main show on Channel 4, it started on the 18th of March, 9 p.m. Thursdays on Channel 4. And we will be going through each episode bit by bit with the special guest, as we always do. And I'm very excited about this new lineup. Charlotte Ritchie, Jamali Maddox, Lee Mack, Mike Wozniak, Sarah Kendall. Very excited to see what they bring to the show. So we needed a special guest who is as obsessed with it as I am. And this week's special guest is Richard Herring, champion of Series 10, of course. A lot of people suggesting that he should be taking over this podcast now. That should be part of the Victor's Prize for winning Taskmaster. Not going to happen. I'm sure during this interview he will try and wangle that out of me, but I will cling on to this podcast. You will have to kill me to get it out of my hands. And even then, I will haunt the goddamn podcast. I will be a ghost. I will fly into the internet and then I will fly down Richard Herring's microphone. I will go in his mouth and I will do a wee. So, watch out, Richard. So, let's have a chat to Richard Herring now about Series 11, Episode 1. Welcome to the Taskmaster Podcast. Richard Herring, welcome back to the Taskmaster Podcast. We've decided to let you back on.
Well, I'm assuming that you're handing over you're the first guest that I'm now hosting. That's why I'm being the first one, right?
There's been a lot of rumours that that's what's happening today. That this is the handover ceremony, because as the reigning champ, that you now get to take over the Taskmaster podcast. But let's see at the end of the episode. Let's do the episode, and then we'll see if you've earned the crown or not.
Okay, great. Can't wait.
Now, obviously, we're here to talk about the first episode of Series 11. We had a lot of emails in, and I wanted to ask you as well, Richard, because I've been in this situation before. How does it feel seeing new people take on the task? Do you feel jealous? Do you feel sad that it's your time's over?
I was surprised how weird it felt, like just even watching the opening titles and suddenly going, "Oh, I'm not." Why? Because you see those opening titles so much in the studio, and then watching the shows again, so you sort of get used to it being you, and then sort of go, "Oh, that's a bit weird. I'm not." They've changed the opening titles, and it's sort of a weird thing. I mean, I like the show so much that obviously it's, you know, I'm aware that it changes, but there was an odd little feeling. Oh, you know, it'd be nice to be there.
But
it quickly passed. But I think weirdly the opening titles was the weirdest bit for me, and then I thought, well, yeah, that makes sense that they have taken me out of the opening title. It'd be nice to be in the opening titles forever as a sort of tribute to how good you were.
They would be. I mean, if they did that with every series, they would then be the longest opening titles in history. Just everyone they've ever had. I had a similar thing when your series came on, that because it was actually such a long time in between 9 and 10. Obviously got to hold the crown for quite a long time. But then it was, because it was on Channel 4 and because it looked so different in the studio, it wasn't as jarring, I think.
You know, but it brought back lots of happy memories of doing all those things. But yeah, it was, quickly you're just going to get used to it being the new people, which I think, it's a difficult transition period. And I think for the fans as well, isn't it? They're often in the first one. You'll see tweets, whichever series is going, oh, you know, this isn't, they haven't got the, they've lost the magic.
Yeah.
But it's also, it takes you a while to establish who the characters are. Although I sort of feel in our first one, our first one was so crazy.
Yeah.
And so much nutty stuff went on. It was sort of immediately quite anarchic. And this one is a slower, kind of more gentle introduction to the people, I think.
I think people have established themselves quite quickly, though. I mean, we'll go through each person, but sure. I feel like their characters have been teased out fairly quickly. But I see what you mean. It's sort of a chattier.
All I'm saying is they're no Series 10. That's all I'm saying. They're okay, but most of us will be mourning the loss of...
Yeah, definitely. And then, of course, mainly mourning the loss of Series 9. I feel like it would be helpful, as this is the first episode of series 11, for us to chat about the new lineup and go through the sort of initial thoughts for everyone. So we've got Charlotte Ritchie up first.
Yeah,
I'm very interested to see how Charlotte gets on this series, because I think, like Catherine in your series, there's already that slight bewilderment and regret in the first episode.
I think it's really difficult. You know, I think she's, I've seen her say that she's not, you know, you're with comedians and she's used to being very funny with other people's stuff. But I mean, Catherine's the obvious comparison, though I think Charlotte might be a little more kind of clued in. I thought she was good in this episode. I thought she was a bit unlucky with some of the stuff.
Yes.
And she was kind of, she was almost the most imaginative. I think in the Catching the Rat one, which we'll talk about later, she had the best imaginative idea of doing it, even though it went wrong for her. And she's got, you know, I like it. It'll be interesting to, I don't think she's probably got the same, with Catherine, it was that sort of slight, higher status thing that she had that Greg was able to really
chip away at, yeah.
Dig in.
Definitely.
Whereas I think Charlotte's already quite, fair enough, and quite sort of aware that it might not go so well for her. But, she could do well, I think.
Yeah.
I'm not going to write her off.
Yeah, there was definitely a few.
It hasn't gone very well for her.
A few moments in this episode where you can see that she's a very creative thinker. And I think, obviously, that really helps on Taskmaster. There was a moment when she's the first person to present her prize task, obviously, which is all her bedding. And we'll get to the prize task. But Greg just immediately goes, "You do know it's supposed to be good." And you see her face drop and sort of go, "All right, that's what's going to happen, is it? I'm that one." The realization was fantastic. Let's move along the line to Jamali Maddox. So I can't wait to see what he gets up to this series. I love Jamali.
Yeah, I think he's going to be great. And he was very on the attack right at the beginning and unafraid.
Yeah.
And you know, and it's great. And Greg actually didn't quite know how to cope with it. I think it was. So I'm really looking forward to that. If he'll challenge him, and you know, we'll talk about Lady B later. But he's quite cheeky and criticizing other people when he'd just done the same thing, and nobody seemed to notice it. So I think he's going to get away.
Yeah.
He's going to get away with a lot, and I think will be good value. And yeah, I don't know. It's definitely the sort of funniest attempt at some of the tasks.
Yeah, I mean, he's the biggest
failures, but also I think he's going to be good.
He's already so antagonistic with Greg and Alex during the tasks, I think. And I think already he's an example of one of these contestants who genuinely doesn't give a shit.
Yes.
And that's always fun to watch. Just really, really doesn't care in quite an aggressive way, which I love.
But then he's going to argue, and he's already dobbing people in. He's already trying to go, "Excuse me, you know, this guy." I would, when he doesn't want Lee to get the points, which I think he was right about. I think he's second line. He's just like dragging people down with him, regardless as well. I think, I don't think there's any gameplay in there. It's just this will be fun to try and make someone else lose. Yeah.
And then Lee Mack, of course, people very excited to see Lee Mack on Taskmaster. People have been asking for him for a long time. He says he's doing it because it's his kid's favorite show.
Yeah, I mean, I was. His approach to quite a few things was very similar to what I would have done. So he is a sort of similarly guy in his 50s. There was a couple of things where we had exactly the same idea as we were approaching it. I think in a way, you know, he's usually so knockabout and looking for the jokes, and I think he's taking it a bit more seriously than that. He was funny too, but he really wants to win, so I think he'll be definitely in with a shot of winning, but it'll be. I feel Greg was a bit kind to him with mostly as well. So it's when you start thinking, is there a Is there a little bit of friendship getting in there, the knowing each other? Is it getting
a mutual respect might change things a little bit. But, you know, Greg normally relaxes into absolutely destroying people after about one episode, so I think it'll be fine.
Yeah, and I think when he took the piss out of Lee's costume and Lee was actually quite... and tried to defend it. I think that's the, you know, I hope they sort of start going for each other, because I think the two of them, they're both so naturally witty and quick that I think I'm looking forward to the badinage between those two if they can start falling out a bit more.
It's interesting to see Lee in a studio environment as well, where it's a new thing for him, because obviously when you see Lee on like Would I Lie to You, he's like the king of it and he's on every episode and he knows exactly what's going on. But it's almost like, not nerves, but he's just approaching it slightly in a slightly more gentle and cautious way because he doesn't know what's going to come up on the screen. He doesn't quite know his way around the show.
I think it's a very difficult show for everyone, you know. So, like, it's interesting when actors say, oh, no, it'd be easier for the comedians, but the comedians are all out of their comfort zone as well.
Yeah.
And also, you're put in a situation with two very dominant hosts who are very funny and absolutely in control of the situation, and it's hard to know where you fit into that comedically, you know. It's hard to kind of join in with it, and it's hard to chip in the jokes. There's a lot of people there, so yeah, it will be interesting to see how he settles into the role.
Mike Wozniak, I mean I tweeted at the time when they announced Mike, I couldn't wait to see what he got up to, because I mean, people might not know Mike as well as we do. He's been on the circuit for a long time and is a brilliant actor and writer and all of these things, and I think he's built for this show in that he's very well put together, but he is insane.
Yes, I think that's fair. And I think this first, you know, again, this first episode, he was, I suppose, you know, he was trying slightly different stuff, and the prize task was really interesting and good. And, you know, I think that's, I think that whole idea of him being a 70s sitcom character trying to do the stuff is probably bang on from Greg. So I'm really looking for, I mean, no, it's really hard to call this series, and I think any of them could do well. You know, and there's ones I want to do well. Mike's one of the ones I want to do well, and I think he will do well, but he's there's sort of a calmness to him, but it is exactly that. It's that sort of bank manager calmness, but then Frank Spencer comes in and he starts twitching and going insane. Mr. Spencer! So I'm really, again, it's sort of the potential is the tantalizing thing about this first episode, because there's lots to love about this episode and there's lots of great stuff in it, but it's sort of like thinking, oh God, I can't wait to see where this is going to go. And even that the final task, again, we'll talk about later, but where they all sort of started sabotaging each other immediately compared to how everyone was in our first, where everyone was trying to help each other.
Yeah, it's very different.
And so it's very exciting that there's that competition there, I think.
And Greg and Mike know each other very well, because we all wrote Man Down together. So we've spent hours and hours and hours together in Greg's flat writing. And I think it's clear to see that Greg is still baffled by Mike, even though we spent all that time together. He thinks he's hilarious, but is like, can never get into his mindset.
And it's hard to get underneath his skin. You know, I think there's ways in for Greg with the others, and it's really hard to know how to take Mike down because of it's a really weird status he's got.
Yeah.
He's neither high status or low status. He's just something else. He's just a different entity. And I'm not sure you can damage, I'm not sure you can harm him through words.
No, and he's such a good yes-ander as well. That anything you do, he will totally run with it until you're like 10 minutes down the line and you're like, Mike, you weren't on board with this at all, really, were you? You're just a nice man. And Sarah Kendall, finally, very excited to see Sarah on it as well. What a brilliant comic she is, and storyteller now as well. I don't know how Sarah's going to do, because she's very no-nonsense, but also very creative. So I don't know which of those paths she's going to take.
Yeah, it's hard to know. I think she's a bit, again, like I was, a bit sort of straight down the line with stuff, I think. But I don't think that's a bad thing. I always think the prize task and the end task are the ways to really tell who's going to do well. And I think she did. I think she's put some thought into the prize tasks.
Yeah.
From this first one. And I think her performance in the final task, if she can do well in both the first and the last task, it sort of doesn't matter what happens in between a little bit, I think, because I think it's won or lost in the studio, really, this tournament. And I like her. She's really funny. I've known her really well. We shared flats in Edinburgh for about 5 or 6 years, and I knew her from the Australian festivals from the 90s, I guess, or the early 2000s. And yeah, she's so brilliant and she's so funny. And you know, I've seen her talk about this in another interview, but as a mum, she's sort of, you know, used to trying to do different things at the same time. So Taskmaster, when you're a parent of young kids, I think it's just a bit like carrying on where you left off.
Sure, that's interesting. Yeah,
and trying to she talked about trying to make cereal while you're cleaning shit off something else or whatever. And you know, it's sort of like being a parent is like being in a never-ending Taskmaster task or an 18-year-long one. So I think she's gonna do well. I really want her to win. I have to say she's my best friend out of everyone in there as well. But I just think I love her attitude. I love the fact she's trying. I think the thing where she at the end where she says, you know, obeying the rules can be fun. I think that probably sort of shows what kind of competitor she's going to be.
Great.
I don't know if she is going to be too imaginative. I don't think she's going to take too many leaps of imagination. But then I think that can be. That's a good tactic to win. Yeah. I think so. I think she's got a very good chance.
So let's run through their prize task. The prize task was best thing you can carry, but only just. A lovely category. Charlotte brought in all her bedding, which, like we say, didn't go down well with Greg, but I thought it was quite a nice piece of sort of whimsical observation.
Yeah, it's hard to carry all your bedding.
But you can do it.
You can do it, but it's hard to do it. So I think if she committed to it, she might have done a bit better. But often, again, when Greg just decides that's the last place at the beginning and puts a bet on it, there's no way she's really going to come out of that. I think I would still put it last, actually. I think they were all really good prize tasks, but I think it was more imaginative than it was given credit for. And I think if she just said, no, you know, it's hard to carry because it's big, it doesn't have to be, it doesn't matter how heavy it is. It's really hard, you know. Bedding is something that's very hard to, even like one at a time. It's quite hard to manipulate, you know.
Yeah, so I thought it was nice. And you say you thought they were quite a good prize task. I don't feel like they all did a great job. I feel like they were actually, I mean, sure, compared to your series, they were amazing.
That's where I'm going from. I think they at least all came up with a different idea of it. And I think Sarah was a bit unlucky that she wasn't allowed to do her original thought.
Yeah.
But then
it was, so I mean, that's, so she tried to get the stop sign in that she'd stolen, essentially. But that's one of the rules of Taskmaster. In the dressing room, there's a little sheet up saying the rules of Taskmaster. Don't discuss any of the tasks with your other contestants. Don't break the law.
Okay, yeah, fair enough.
Is one of them.
I mean, it's sort of such a pranky thing. And I know it is breaking the law. It's such a sort of pranky thing to do to steal a road sign. It sort of doesn't feel illegal. But of course it is, kids. Don't steal. It's a terrible thing to do.
Jamali brought a slightly hot potato, which I really enjoyed as well.
Yeah, I thought, I think he was done down in this. I think that was, he got 2 points for that. And I think that was an imaginative, you know, I wouldn't have thought of that. I wouldn't have come in with that as an immediate thought. To get something that's a bit hot is nice.
But here's what I think's been lost in the prize tasks over the last couple of series. No offense, Richard, is the element of them actually being prizes has been forgotten. So they might all fit the category in a clever way, but do you want to take that home at the end of an episode? A slightly hot potato.
Yeah. I think that's true. One of my thoughts for this was like to buy a bar of gold, because I remember an episode of Johnny Ball's Think of a Number or whatever it was, one of his science ones, where he said it was impossible to carry but he put it on his back or something and said if that was real I wouldn't be able to carry it, but then he said it is real, I can, but only just. And I think, like, also I guess, I don't know how much a bar of gold costs.
Quite a lot, I'd imagine.
Yeah, what do you think, 20 grand, or do you think it's like 100 grand? I mean, it would be a brilliant prize.
Yeah.
and then insist the person who won took it.
So there were fun ways of fitting the category. But so, like, Lee's was his kids, but he said, I can't give my kids away, so it's just representations of my kids. He should have just put his kids in there.
I did. That was when this came up, my first thought was the thing that my daughter, who's six, I can just carry up. You know, it's that thing when you're a parent, you know there's going to be a moment when this is the last chance I can carry them. I can just about carry my daughter upstairs.
Yeah.
But it's hard. And it would be really hilarious to have her at the end sort of wait and give her to a to Jim Harley Maddox. To have to look after forever. And, you know, and maybe she'd find a way home.
Yeah. And, well, that's and up to her, though, right?
But, yeah. But I don't. I suppose that is... It is technically illegal to
I suppose that's a crime
away.
As well, yeah. Yeah, but in a... So, okay, fair
But
fair
it would
enough.
Be a very... It would be funny. I mean, that's what... I think the idea of bringing a person in for some of the ones I've watched would be, you know, if you have a really famous... If you knew Paul McCartney enough to bring Paul McCartney in as your prize, you know what I mean? It would be such an... It would be such a
At the end, him being there would be great, yeah.
And a waste of his valuable time as well. But, so, yeah, so I think that if it had been his actual kids, I think that would have been awesome. And they would have loved it. And I think everyone would have accepted that. That he probably won't, you know. Well, he'd have to win.
Yeah, he'd have to win. Like... That would give him more of a boost to win the episode or not.
Yeah.
Mike went with a tune, which when he said it initially, best thing you can carry, but only just, I was like, oh, here we go. Here we go. It's just like, he's just being clever clogs. We get it. You can carry a tune, but only just. But the fact he then did that song makes up for it massively, I think.
I think so. Although it feels a bit like shoehorning in some material, maybe. I don't know if that's a song he wrote especially for Taskmaster. Or whatever.
I mean, can you imagine trying that in a club?
I think it would work.
Yeah, he would.
But I think it was definitely the deserved winner. I think that was, you know, it was an imaginative use of the title and funny and, you know, and ballsy as well.
Yeah, really ballsy. In an empty studio.
Yeah.
With everyone staring at you in silence. I could not have done that.
No, so I think he was a deserved winner, and it was and again I don't think you know, the fact that I thought that my and Lee's thoughts were identical is often a bad sign, isn't it? If you think, oh, that's the first thing, and then someone else has thought of that, because it's sort of too obvious. But so I don't think anyone else would have thought to do that, and I thought it was funny, so I think he deserved to win.
I've written down that song was a perfect introduction to Mike as a man from the past, but the past of a different planet. It feels like he's come to the future, but from a completely different universe, that guy.
Facts about animals. Prawns are cannibals. If there's an elephant in the room, then you're in the wrong room. Cutting an earthworm in half makes you a sadist. I think it's worth repeating that prawns eat their babies. And monkeys eat monkeys, but who gives them monkeys? Monkeys. And if you squash a wasp, it releases a chemical from the wasp that attracts people who tell you facts about wasps.
Task one is do the most impressive thing under this table with one hand. You must be looking at the camera and waving your other hand throughout the task. You have 15 minutes to prepare and a minute in which to do your impressive thing. Absolutely classic panic task. This one filled me with fear. Just the idea of being asked to do this.
Yeah, I don't know what I mean, in the end, I kind of thought, I'm doing a lot of ventriloquism and puppet shows, so maybe I would have done something with a puppet, a crafted a puppet somehow, and then that's under the table. And
but it would have been been rubbish, though, Richard. You know that.
It would have been rubbish. Yeah, it would have. But I feel the thing like they were much stricter on the rules in our series, and I feel like hardly anyone did the waving properly at all.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah,
and that was the big thing. And like, in fact, Lee put both hands under the table at one point.
Yeah, and looking at what he was doing.
Yeah,
I mean, it doesn't make a difference to Lee's, because he promises a feast. And then got brought in with him Diet Coke and a banana and some bread and peanut butter. So why you would promise a feast and then get those ingredients?
But he got 3 points for that. This is
just
absolutely
madness.
That's what I mean about, you know, the Lee Mack effect.
It was very funny.
It feels like
it was while he was doing it, it was very funny, but he wasn't waving, he was using both hands, and the result was awful. The idea, I agree with Greg that the idea was good. I think I would have done something similar. I would have tried to cook something under the table.
On a flame, you know, get a little gas canister thing if there was one around. Or anything. Just try and actually cook something. And chop, you know, it had to be chopping, and it had to be more than a banana that wasn't even in a piece of bread.
Yeah, that was awful. I mean, that should have been 1 point, really, I think.
Yeah, or 0 point. I mean, I think, you know, that I feel he would have been disqualified in our series for many transgressions.
Charlotte attempts to coin roll on her fingers. I mean, another massive panic from her. Having to when you find yourself watching a YouTube tutorial during a task, you know you've picked the wrong thing, I think.
I thought, what? But again, just what? You know, bravado to attempt, just go, oh, that could do. I don't know how to do it. I sort of think, you know, she should have got something just for attempting that for something she'd never done as well.
Totally.
I thought it was great. And she waved well.
Yes, good waving.
And, you know, and she sort of obeyed all the rules. Did they have to do it for 30 seconds or did they just have 30 seconds? Because she didn't do the full 30 seconds.
She had a minute. You have a minute in which to do your impressive thing. So I think you've just got a minute window and you don't have to do it for the full minute.
Yeah, she didn't break the rules. She wasn't like amazing, but it's kind of quite nice to see that thing done slowly. We're so used to seeing it done fast. So let's see how it actually works.
So used to seeing it done well. It's nice to see it step by agonizing step. Now, this, I mean, we're coming to the injustice here. Jamali does a cushion spin, which I think is genuinely impressive.
Yeah.
I think it's by far the most impressive thing in there. But Greg's arrogance that he can do it means that he initially gives it 2 points.
Yeah.
Which is just, it's so wrong. And then even later on when Jamali proves to him that Greg couldn't do it, he only gives him one bonus point. I think it should have been 5 points straight away.
Yeah, I think, do you think the little man thing confused it a little bit? Because he can do it just on his finger.
Yeah.
And I think you sort of think, oh, you know, that's... Yeah, I mean, I think if they'd just brought the cushion out straight away and said, let's do it. And I don't know why they waited so long.
Yeah.
If they'd just gone, here's your cushion, you do it and see if you can do it, I think he would have been more impressed. And it was super impressive.
Yeah, it was really
impressive. But more impressive not under a table. Maybe the table made it look a bit constricted. But when he was, and when he threw, you know, and Kendall challenges him to throw it, and he does throw it, and it carries on. It's astonishing, but obviously you couldn't do that under the table. So, yeah, that's what I feel. I feel in these first two tasks, Jamali should have been a lot higher up.
Yeah.
I think Mike's one was very impressive.
Well, Mike played the Taskmaster theme tune on a balalaika. It was impressive that he was playing that under the table, but could you recognise that as the Taskmaster theme tune?
I think if he'd said before, he said this, it's the Taskmaster theme tune, because the second time I watched it, 100%, but the first time I watched it, it felt like it could have been just any old crap. But when I watched it a second time, I thought, God, yeah, that's, you know, it's not for a man not being able to see what he's doing.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm presuming he found that instrument somewhere, you know, on the wall or something of the
house. I think so. I mean,
of the house.
Yeah, Greg said he
wouldn't
have been
surprised.
It was a
communist theme, isn't it?
If he brought it with him. But
I don't think he did bring it with him just on the off chance.
Yeah.
I'm taking one into the champion of champions just in case. But yeah, I thought it wasn't a bad crack at it, and it was, again, I think did he do the waving properly? Was he waving? But great skill.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of that, which I think it has to be that, right?
Yeah, I think you have to move the hand. I mean, yeah, Charlotte was the best at the waving, I think. But as Alex said, she spent a long time practicing the waving when she should have been working on the coin walk, really. Sarah's was great. I loved Sarah's because I think she very cleverly, I think she says this as well, she realised that she wasn't going to be able to do anything genuinely impressive, so she just drags Alex into it to humiliate him, which is always going to get you points.
But I mean, 4 points is probably more or less fair one way or another. 3 or 4. But yeah, I thought it was funny. I enjoyed it. And didn't, you know, it didn't matter that she didn't do it well, because that's funnier. So.
I mean, I do think it would have been funnier if she'd done it perfectly. Yeah. If it was perfect makeup and he looked beautiful. But I think that would have been that would have been impressive as well, but almost impossible.
Yeah.
But a hard task, I think, to kick off the series.
Yeah. I'd have just had a wank under the
Well, at your age, that is impressive.
I'm doing it now, and it's shouldn't do that way around it, or it'll take too long.
Imagine them cutting back to the studio as well, going, what was Richard doing? We didn't cut to anything under the table there. Richard had a wank. Richard's now leaving the studio. He won't be part of the rest of the series.
Yeah, certainly the best ever example of spinning a cushion on top of a doll I've ever seen.
Can you spin a cushion?
Of course I can.
I don't think you can.
Do you not think?
I know, because I can hear the hater in your tone. I know you can't do it, and that's what haters do it. You can't do something. Sit on your chair that's been custom made and you look down on little people. You know what? We're not having it anymore, all right?
Yeah, you.
Wearing black, looking slimming. We get it, all right?
Task two, catch the rat. Most ingenious catch wins. You must be at least 3 metres away from the rat when you catch it. The rat will run over the green in 30 minutes. Another fun task. I would have enjoyed this one. Contrary to the first task, I think I would have enjoyed this one.
I think I didn't like the ones where you've got to find stuff from the shed and work out what you can do with it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think I'd have done better with this one than, again, my immediate thought was Mousetrap, and I think Lee's was the best in this one.
Yeah.
But I would have gone a bit further with the Mousetrap. You know, that I would. It seemed to me. What you remember from Mousetrap, if you remember Mousetrap, is the guy jumping into a pool off a
yes.
board and stuff like that. I just feel like if there had been a few more references, obviously in half an hour that's quite hard to do, but then, and you need to get something else to capture the rat other than the bath.
Yeah.
But I think him somehow jumping into the bath, setting off something else, in the end, you know, if he'd hit the ball into the thing and that had made it
yeah.
go, that would at least been somebody just clobbered. It was the best one, and it was, but that, you know, again, I found myself going the same way as Lee would have gone and attempting that. But you sort of, you know I can't, I'm bad at making stuff, so I can imagine in my mind, oh, wouldn't it be amazing if you recreated
exactly.
the board game as
yeah.
But how I would do that is another option, and I'm not sure I would have even thought of propping up the bath and making that fall. It was a small rat, so like a bucket or something that, because in Mousetrap, again, the trap falls down.
Yeah, it
down
sort of
onto,
clatters down, doesn't it?
Yeah, clatters down. So, you know,
the I agree with you. I would have had the same problem in that I can envisage something in my head, but there's no way I can actually pull it off in real life. I think it's when you realise that comedians aren't engineers.
No, but given that he did brilliantly, you know, I think there was more than one part to it.
Yeah.
And it did, you know, it was a Mousetrap in that way, in that elaborate way. But you know, it's also because it's not even you're an engineer, you've got to be an engineer with rubbish that's in the shed, which doesn't fit together, and there aren't clamps, and you know, so it's really hard to make it work. So I think he did the best there.
Yeah.
Although Charlotte's was great, but obviously against the rules. So
yeah, so Charlotte's she camouflaged herself on the mat, and as soon as she did it, I thought, oh, that's brilliant, that's such a good idea. And the rat drove onto her and she grabbed it, and I thought, brilliant, it's going to be 5 points, because I'd immediately forgotten about the 3 meter thing as well.
Yeah, I'm not sure anyone else really obeyed. 3 meters is quite a long way, and I'm not sure anyone was 3 meters away. Again, this is where I think he's not being as strict on the rules as he was with us, where we all got disqualified from tasks. I feel there was at least two disqualifications. Jamali
definitely
Jamali, who went on about, said, excuse me, I don't know, 3 minutes for the task. Have you forgotten you asked them to green screen out your hand, mate?
So
have you forgotten
rubbish.
That bit where you were right there?
So rubbish.
So if she got nothing, he should have got nothing.
Yeah,
as
I agree.
Well. So,
I agree
for sure. But I'm not sure any of them were. I mean, Lee went in at one point and then came out again. At the point the mouse was trapped, he was probably 3 meters away. It did seem a little unfair for him not to get like even just a bonus point for being their most imaginative, which he admitted she would have won if that hadn't been in the rules.
Yeah, totally. No, I hadn't thought about that. But yeah, Jamali is definitely just right next to the rat when he catches it, right?
Yeah, I don't know how he got away. And I don't know the audacity. I admire him.
Yeah.
Because the audacity of daring to point that out without going, oh yeah, I forgot about me. Literally standing right next to
him. But I guess you only picked up on Charlotte doing it because her technique was good. Like, so you just notice that little flaw in it, whereas Jamali's was so rubbish across the board that you don't even notice that he's massively breaking the rules as well. So it was one point for Jamali, 0 points for Charlotte, sadly. 3 points for both Mike and Sarah, which I think is fair, and the big 5 points for Lee. I mean, yeah, definitely out of all of the... They're sort of similar techniques from everyone, really, and his was the best one. I agree with that.
But I did have a big advantage in that I also have had an infestation of rats at my house, and that is exactly how we caught them.
Task three, deliver all the plates to Alex. When delivering the plates, you must travel by bicycle, scooter or hoverboard. For every plate broken, you will have 20 minutes added to your time. Fastest wins, you may start moving the plates 3 minutes from now. A lot of fun. This is the sort of thing one I would have got really excited about, Richard, and then as soon as it came to the reality of it, I would have hated it.
Well, it's sort of more difficult. It's sort of simplistic in a way, isn't it? Because there are only a few things you get. It's basically your choice of vehicle. There's a couple of other... you know, whether you wrap up the plates or whether you stuff them down your trousers or whatever in an attempt to kind of get them there. But it's basically I guess the hoverboard is the hardest one to manoeuvre, the easiest one to carry plates on.
Yeah.
So that's, I think I might have just gone, right, I'm going to commit to the hoverboard and I'm going to spend 3 minutes really mastering the hoverboard.
Do you think you could do that?
As best I can.
Do you think you could master the hoverboard in 3 minutes?
Once it felt like Mike did it during the task. If he'd spent 3 minutes doing it before the task, I think he would have been straight, because it just took him a little while to get going.
Yeah.
If you could actually, because I think Sarah said she should have done them all in one go, but I'm not, you know, I think that's the thing. If you'd attempted to travel that with that many plates on a bike, you'd have gone very slowly or definitely dropped them. I think Lee again was very lucky here to get away with the
Let's talk about that. I mean, he uses the swag bag method with the tablecloth, which is I think most people would probably go for that to try and get as many over as possible. I mean, Jamali makes a papoose and manages to, I mean, that was the most frustrating thing to watch. Just, he must have known they were spilling out the back and he just carried on anyway. He didn't give a shit.
But it was just so comedic because they fell out straight away and then just bit by bit, and then at the end it was just like you couldn't have, if you were turning that into a cartoon, you couldn't have made those plates fall in a funnier way.
Yeah.
And then just to go back and do the second one. So if he just spent a bit more time, he would have saved himself 3 hours.
Oh man. Before we talk about Lee, actually, let's just cover the others quickly because they're pretty straightforward. Charlotte used the scooter and did 5 minutes, 12 seconds. Jamali, as we say, smashed up so many plates and had 3 hours added to his final time. Sarah used the bike. Again, quite straightforward. Just wanted to get it done from Sarah. But I think Mike was also trying to get it done, but also looked absolutely hilarious while he was doing it.
I think using a form of transport you've never used was a risk. It was definitely the sensible one in terms of moving them all at the same time.
Yeah.
So I think provided you can carry all those plates, which he obviously can.
But it was so slow.
That was, I think, it was slow.
It was like two soups.
Just because he had... It was. But I'm glad someone did it.
No.
I mean, all three were used, which is... I don't know, because... I guess with a bike, you're sitting down, you can crook of the arm. I think scooter's probably the worst choice because I think it's very hard to move that. And that's why it took Charlotte so long, because she couldn't actually physically do a scooter and
carry
it. Was it motorised, though, the scooter? It was a sort of motorised scooter, though.
Yeah, so I think so.
You've got it going.
Yeah, but I'd be...
But even so, you've still presumably got to be touching the handle. So you've got to have... She did the best I think she could with the scooter, but I think bike was probably the best way to go, and what Lee did was probably the best way of doing it.
They must have been, production must have been punching the air when Mike chose the hoverboard. Because that must be the worst if they laid out all those options and then one of them doesn't get used. It must have been just going, Mike, have you considered...
And it was a bit unfair that he was in the rain, though, as well. Like, that was everyone else in lovely weather. And he was like... There's so much rain. You pick up a plate and like it wasn't even just a few drops.
Yeah.
It was they presumably dried them all at the start. I feel he should have got maybe a bonus point for doing it all in the rain.
So let's talk about Lee now, because there was a bit of controversy here. He did the swag bag method, delivers all the plates, and then says I've done it, and then decides to try and juggle three plates and smashes them. So you feel like
some fell out before he juggled. So like he put them on the table, said I've done it, and then three fell out of the onto the floor. Two or three fell onto the floor,
right,
out of his package. And I sort of feel, I mean, they're on the table just about, but I feel they have to stay on the table, and also maybe even they have to be taken out of the sack and put on the table. I mean, it's difficult. Technically, they were on the table, but they were on for such a short amount of time that I sort of feel they have to stay on the table and gravity has to take its effect. And then we see where we are. It's interesting. It was, I think Greg wouldn't have counted it. And Alex was given the decision and he did allow that. So, you know, it was down to Alex. But yeah, it's a difficult one to call, but it sort of feels wrong that plates were broken and he still won, I suppose. I don't think the juggling ones matter.
No, but after also
the
because Alex...
That's him showing off after the...
Alex said that he would give him bonus points if he could juggle it. So I think they'd be in a tricky position if they then tried to take points off Lee for juggling them. No, I see what you mean, but I think in that short period of time where he put the plates down, the clock was stopped and then they fell off. Mm. So you've got to go with the clock, I think.
I'm not sure. It's difficult. It's a difficult one.
There's a marked contrast. But you often attempt the wheel skid as you arrive at a table. That's very right. Exciting. And then the rest of the time, you look like you were going at the pace of a little old lady.
What I find really depressing about it is that I know I'm being visually boring, so I'm trying to zhuzh it up by putting my foot out occasionally.
Oh, come on, you shouted Life's for Living.
Yeah, because I knew that I was boring the crew senseless.
First studio task of the series. Stack your buckets so they're taller than you, then put a beanbag on top of the buckets. You may not leave your spot at any point. Fastest wins. When you're finished, put your hands on your hips for 2 seconds. I mean, yeah, like you say, very different vibe to your series.
Yeah, but also, I mean, what when going into that, you would think this is Lee or Mike has won this.
Yeah.
Sarah was like 4 points behind or whatever she was behind. You think there's, you know, that's it. We've got, it's a two-horse race. So one of the most exciting conclusions to an episode of Taskmaster that someone could come back from that far behind and win it. But yeah, I mean, just because, I guess that was why, I love that they gave them the extra beanbags and said, just in case you need them, and didn't say so you can throw, and they worked out, we can throw them at each other.
Yeah, it's like, that's a proper, like, experiment to do on, like, monkeys to see if they're evil.
Yeah. Yeah, and they quickly realise that's what you can do with them, you know. And it's sort of to be the first to do it. I mean, Lee basically had screwed up anyway because he stepped off the mark straight away, more or less, didn't he?
Yeah.
So he would have been disqualified anyway. So I think, to be the first one to do it is very risky because then if you destroy everyone else's one, they're not going to go, well done. They're going to attack you back. So Sarah kept out of it, and that was the absolute correct
the right
thing to
technique,
do in that
sentence.
It was sort of reminiscent of I was the only one in the first task of everyone else was helping each other, passing balls to each other in that first task we did, and I was the only one who was not only ignoring all that but kicking off any ball that wasn't my colour off the stage. And so she was sort of doing the same as that, just keeping herself to herself, and that was the correct way to go with that. And because she didn't get involved, no one was chucking stuff at her until it was too late.
Yeah, it was a good technique. So she was the only one to get any points. She got 5 points. Everyone else got zero. A wonderful moment with Charlotte in this as well. This is part of her realisation of the first episode, how this is going to play out, in that when everyone was chucking the beanbags at each other's towers, you just heard her go, "Oh, guys. Guys."
But I think there is a bit of sort of, it's a bit more macho vibe to the three guys who were in our one, who I think were less sort of alpha male attempting. Maybe between Lee and Jamali, there's a little bit more, let's chuck stuff around at each other. I think, whereas I don't feel there was that male competitiveness in our
Well, but
one.
In your series, no matter how alpha any of you were, Daisy would have crushed you with an iron fist. So
I think that's the very good point, yeah.
So, the first episode, we've got Charlotte at the bottom with 5 points, 7 points for Jamali, 17 points for both Lee and Mike, and then Sarah at the top with 18 points. I mean, it's obviously it's first episode, all still to play for. So you want Sarah to win.
I think I want Sarah. I think she's my favourite, and I really like her as a comedian and a person, and... you know, I know it would mean a lot to Lee to win, but I don't think you can be that taken into that. I like all of them, though, I have to say. So there's no one I would be disappointed to see to see win. But I think it would just there'll be. I think especially with that slightly Boise feeling to some of it. I think it would be nice if Sarah could triumph over them. I think she might just have the necessary mindset to do so, because it's that thing, you know, especially with these when it's over 10 and everyone's got some very varied approaches because they've been picked to be very varied. I think that being sort of straight down the line, getting 3 or 4 points for most tasks and doing well in the studio, I think is the kind of key to winning it. And I think she might have that. I think it's very open. I think Charlotte's the least likely to win at the moment, but I wouldn't even discount her, because I think there was just flashes of, you know, and everyone has an episode, I think, in the 10 where they sort of, it's not their week and they come last or fourth or whatever.
This might have been hers.
You can't judge it. Yeah. So she, and I think that the rat catching task makes you think, maybe there's something here as long as she reads the card properly.
I feel like Jamali might be able to just bully his way to the top as well. I feel like he might get the better of Greg.
Yeah, I think he deserved more points than he got from this episode. But I think that, you know, it's sort of it always slightly balances out, certainly over the course of a series. But I think like the couple of tasks he did, he should have got a bit more. But one task he should have got less. So it's it sort of balances out. But I'm surprised he got so few points in a way.
Yeah.
And I think, if his prize task, if he's thinking outside the box as he did in that one, he's got a good chance of picking up some points with the prize tasks.
Definitely.
And we'll see. Having all been competitive in that first one, they might actually realise that's counterproductive, given what happened to them. So it might actually calm down a bit in the other ones. We'll see.
So actually, speaking of prize tasks, let's move on to the emails. We've got a question here from Hunter. Hello from Florida. A question for Richard and Ed. How much prep time did you get for the prize tasks? Based on the wide disparity of thoughtful, carefully selected items versus whatever was in my kitchen before I came to the studio, I can't tell if you have 5 minutes or 5 months. Thank you.
I mean, you get a long time if you want to, I think. You know, but I think I said this last time, but I think I was sort of so keen to to be a good boy. I got the list and did them pretty quickly, but we got the list. 4 or 5. I think it was meant. Ours was a bit weird because the studios got pushed back because of COVID.
Yeah.
To what they would have been, it would have been 2 or 3 months, but it ended up being 4 or 5 months. So I guess I could have come back and said, "Oh, actually, I've thought of something else." And I guess even during the studios, you could go, "Oh, I've realised all the ones I've got coming up are crap. Can I change it for this?" Because some people were bringing in things on the day, and I think Sarah probably brought in the fridge on the day for this one. But so you do get a lot of time to think about it, and if I had my time again, I would certainly have spent a lot more time really thinking about it. So yeah, I you do get time. So if you're ever on Taskmaster, use that time.
Yeah,
and it's if you want to win. I think it's the difference between, especially if it's tight, that it can really make the difference.
But then you say that. I think someone recently did. Someone's done loads of stats for Taskmaster, and one of the stats they did, which is quite interesting, is who would have won each series if you just based it on the prize tasks. And David Baddiel would have won Series 9.
Really?
Yeah. He always did very well in the prize tasks because he got a chance to think about it, and that's where he excels. When he's given a bit of time, he's a very clever bloke. He can think about it. He can think about what's going to work. If you say, do this now, David, his trousers will immediately fall down.
Yeah, it's not just that. It's definitely not just the prize task, but I think the prize task can give you the... Because of that, because you do get time to think about it, and that does suit different people. But also, you know, if you use those months to do something that takes 3 months to do, and you know, then you'll definitely get 4 or 5 points. Whereas if you just go to your kitchen and pick out a chip or whatever rubbish a lot we're putting in, then you're not going to get any points. So it's, you know, it's sort of like you're discounting yourself from getting some points if you don't give it a
for
bit
sure.
of thought.
This is from Sarah in Rochester. My question for Richard, out of all the Champion of Champions contestants, who do you think is your biggest competition? Now, we've not really talked about this yet, Richard.
No. I think, you know, I sort of feel very relaxed going into Champion of Champions because I think everyone's so good that I don't really see one person as being the obstacle to me. I think I'm the worst one out of the five. And but I think I still think I can win.
Yeah.
I think Lisa might win it.
Yeah.
But you'll certainly be the most competitive.
Yes.
I mean, everyone's very good. Everyone's very good. I mean, it's a different beast, because when it's not chosen to be, this is five people who compliment each other.
Yeah.
You know, when five people who've done well at it all come to it, they're all going to be coming at it, not necessarily from the same point of view, but from a winner's point of view.
I mean, it could be the most boring thing to ever happen.
Exactly. It absolutely could be. So I think my role might be just to be the duffer who screws everything up in this one, which I will happily take.
Yeah.
I'm really, really delighted to get another go at it. I feel I was so nervous and tense with it before that it was very hard to... I really enjoyed it, but it was really hard to kind of relax and just think about what was going on. So I think I might come at it as a slightly different angle and just go, I really want to have fun with this, and I'm going to take things a bit more slowly, but we'll see.
Yeah.
Because I did think that the last time, and I still just blundered into whatever first thing popped into my head and ran around until things were done. And yeah, it just depends what we're asked to do. So it's if you get a bit of luck and it's something if it's a memory thing, or if it's if you've just got some little edge on something that you've done before, then that can make all the difference.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's going to be super entertaining, and I'm really looking forward to... I think I know everyone a bit, but Lisa Tarbuck's the only person I've met her a couple of times. She's the one I know least, but I know everybody in this series, whereas in the last series, I sort of knew of people
yeah.
and met Johnny and Catherine, but I wasn't like big mates with anyone. Johnny was sort of the closest person I was mates with, and it'll be nice to be in a group of people that I largely know, and I think that will change the dynamic. So I'm massively looking forward to it. It's going to be a lot of fun, but I wouldn't. It's going to be. It's about. Well, who do you think is going to?
I kind of agree with you. Like I really don't know, because everyone is good. Like you say, I think Lisa's definitely in with a big chance, I think. But then Kerry is absolutely amazing as well. And if Lou hits it right, like she's the most unpredictable. But if she just has a good day, then we're all in trouble.
Yeah.
I think
so. You know, it's sort of a bit of a
not
coin
you
toss,
basically Richard.
I think anyway, I think it's not me, but I think by everyone being so good, I'm gonna try and win
yeah.
it, obviously, but I'm also much more in it for the shits and giggles this time than I was
yeah.
And with the series, I did really want to win, and I was doing stuff to win, and I think I'm not going to... You know, I think the way to go into it is to try and do your absolute best.
Totally.
At whatever is put in front of you. And the comedy will come from that.
Yeah.
You don't need to think, oh, how can I make this funny? Or, you know, if I do this in a silly way, at least I'll
yeah.
make people laugh. Because if it's artificial, it's not funny. The funniness comes from you are absolutely shit at this. And you're trying your best. The one where I had to speak backwards. Absolutely shit. Not funny. Except that you're absolutely just awful. and Daisy's going to be furious with you.
Well, yeah, quite.
So that's where the comedy comes from. So, you know, I'm going to do my utmost and my best to do well. But I just also... It's just like a little gift at the end.
Totally.
Of having done the series. It's go, here, have another little go at this. And this will... Unless they do a champion of champion of champions.
Yeah.
Then this is it, isn't it? This is our last
so
go.
So sad.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of Daisy, actually, this is from Barry in Glasgow. Question for Richard. Have you had much public reaction to your and Daisy's on-screen feuds?
Well, I don't know. You know, I'm confused about how real they were. She, we've slightly communicated on Instagram and stuff. I posted a picture of the hippo at some point and she liked it.
Yeah.
And I think you maybe commented on it. I mean, people are confused about how real it was. And I think in the moment for her, I think it was fairly real.
Yeah.
I was certainly a couple of moments where I was, you know, intimidated and scared by it all. But I loved it. I really want to do like a sort of almost a sort of updated 1970s sort of carry on sitcom
yeah.
where I play a husband.
Definitely.
And just live in constant fear. but I don't know if that ever will happen. I'm hoping I can get her on my podcast and we can talk it all through. Because I have, aside from a few little messages, I haven't I haven't seen her. Weirdly, we've both... I think she's hurt a leg and she's had a baby.
And she had a baby in between.
And she's had a baby. So she's had a lot come out of her. I've been a bit unwell this year. So we've both had a bit of a time this year.
Yeah.
But it was such good TV, I think. And the sort of journey of those two characters through that and the way they kind of played it out.
Yeah.
You know, we did lots of good stuff together. That's the thing. And in fact, in the early prize task, we were really, you know, the early drawing one, we were really tuned into each other and getting very obscure things from each other. So that hippo thing was more of an aberration, really. And I think the dance thing was a great one. And
Melon.
So it's not that journey, the singing and the dance one was the karaoke one was a great challenge. So I'm hoping we'll see each other again, be friends, but who knows?
It'd be really funny if it's genuine on her side.
I thought more people would be upset she didn't win, and like obviously a few people were, her fans were, but it was sort of a mixture of what I heard is like people, I loved her and I kind of would have been happy for her to win because I thought she sort of did deserve it, really. I think she's such an amazing character, and it would have been really interesting to see her amongst the champion of champions. Yeah. So I slightly regret that she didn't win. And you and Four, it'd be great to see a TV show which was you versus Four within. It's a TV panel show with the vast majority. As it is, you're the only person with two testicles on the whole panel. So, you know.
Do you think you're going to start to get more work on panel shows now you've only got one testicle?
I hope so. I think it's a disability. I'm hoping I'm getting a parking spot near the shops because it's hard to walk for me now. Hopefully that I can make it into a thing.
Yeah.
Even as a white, middle-class, Oxbridge-educated man, I can now say no, but, you know, can't... Hey, I noticed TV is not letting the one-bald men on anymore.
Well, as soon as I'd heard that, obviously my initial thought was, oh, I hope Richard's okay. I hope he recovers quickly. But then my second thought was, oh, this takes him out of the running for Champion of Champions. Surely.
I'm gonna use it to, all the way through. I'm just going to be like Tiny Tim sitting in the corner. I've only got one ball. Please give me a point.
Richard, this is your second time on the Taskmaster podcast. You'll know that we ask you to rate your experience on the podcast between 1 and 5 points. I think you might have given us 5 the first time. Is that?
I think I did. That was very generous of you.
Very nice of you. Thank
you. Am I taking over the podcast? Have I done a good enough job?
You've done a smashing job.
Is it your decision?
You've done a smashing... It is my decision, weirdly. Okay. The system doesn't quite work. you've done a smashing job, and I think you've been a lovely guest on today's episode. I think, why don't we let me do this series?
Yeah.
And then sort of series 3 to 9, and then we'll see what happens after that.
Okay. And then I will give this experience a 3. Because of the disappointment of not taking over.
What?
And just because everyone either gives you 5 or 0.
Yeah, that's true.
In fact, nearly everyone gives you 5. Because what kind of needy thing is this? How was it? Yeah. So I'll give you 3 just to give you something to work to. Because this is the beginning of the series.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's
and
fair.
And there's no way to go, is there? If I give you 5, it's just 5, 5, 5, 5, 5. Give you 3. Just try a little bit harder next time for the next guest.
I will. I'll try. I try harder for other guests.
Yeah, good.
Thank you very much, Richard.
Thank you.
Well, there we are. What a first episode and what a great chat about it. Thank you very much, Richard, for coming back on the Taskmaster podcast. I'm sure we'll see you again soon at some point, but not hosting. I think I've made that very clear. Keep watching Taskmaster Series 11, Episode 2, be next week, Thursday, 9 p.m., and then forevermore until it's finished. It's 10 episodes, 9 p.m., Thursdays, Channel 4. Catch up on all 4 if you miss it there. Look at the Taskmaster YouTube channel, youtube.com/Taskmaster. Go on the Taskmaster store. There's so much content out there for you, but just keep enjoying it. Email us, taskmasterpodcast@gmail.com, with your questions for me and my guests, and we will do our best to answer them. But for now, see you next week. This podcast will be released 10 p.m. Straight after the main show on Channel 4, and we will see you then. Goodbye.
Okay, take it away, Mike. No.